Quiet Mind, Day 65. Peace is now, ego isn't. Your only real problem is thinking peace lies somewhere else. The ego is a master storyteller, and every one of its tales comes with the same tired headline: why I can't be at peace right now. Sometimes it blames the past, sometimes the future, sometimes your boss or your ex, but always the punchline is the same: not now. Not yet, maybe someday, but not now. And here's the twist. The ego knows peace is only possible in the now. That's why it keeps dragging your attention anywhere but here. So what's the antidote? Making peace with this moment. Not the fantasy of how this moment should be, just what is. The wind, the noise, the traffic, the toddler melting down. This is your life. And when you stop fighting it, life doesn't just get easier, it starts to live through you. You stop dancing around life and become the dance itself. The ego resents reality because it can't control it. But guess what? Reality never fights back. It just is. And when you resist, it sigh, grumble, protest, complain. You're not taking a stand. You're feeding your own suffering. That resistance becomes hell. That's not poetic exaggeration. That's literally how unconscious suffering works. We create misery and then act shocked it hurts. And the ego is so bad at self-awareness, it will rage against what it just did itself, then gaslight the moment with explanations, denials, and finger-pointing. It's not just individuals. Corporations and entire governments do this too. When ego can't win the argument, it yells. When that fails, it goes to war. If you want to help the world, start with yourself. Not tomorrow, right now. Ask, is there negativity in me in this moment? Just the question alone cracks open awareness. Look for the subtler forms being off, impatient, tense, a little fed up. Then look for the thought that's justifying it. They shouldn't have done that. I deserve better. This shouldn't be different. These are not truths. They are ego-generated stories, and they are optional. The good news? When you notice the negativity, it doesn't mean you're failing. It means you're waking up. Awareness doesn't deny emotions. It witnesses them. And when you witness, you're no longer possessed by them. You shift from being the storm to watching the storm from a safe distance. Even the thought, I'll be free of ego someday, is ironically the ego talking. Freedom isn't a future goal. It's a present shift. And the shift is simple, from thinking to awareness. From being lost in your mind to watching your mind. From being the thought to seeing the thought. When this shift happens, your past story, the one you've been dragging around like an old suitcase, suddenly feels less important. That mental resume of pains, victories, grudges, and goals no longer defines you. You realize you're not the story, you're the space before the story. That's why ego is pathological, not in a you're broken way, but in the literal sense of the word. It creates suffering, and like any disease, it thrives when left unexamined. Some people's egos go into overdrive, crafting lies to feel important. Others develop full-blown paranoia where the whole world becomes a personal attack. But even in small doses, ego distorts everything. It makes people the villains in your movie. It tells you peace is waiting down the road, if only they would behave. At its most extreme, ego imagines the world revolves around it. At its most common, it just whispers that someone else is the problem. Either way, it's lying. Always. The real question isn't what life is doing to you, it's what your mind is doing to life. When you stop identifying with your story, even briefly, what remains is clarity, presence, and peace. Not someday, now.